Good morning, everyone. It's Tuesday, August 2, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio, and a very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. And with Clarkie still on his sojourn for another week and a half or so, we've got our Tuesday special guest host subbing in once again. He is none other than Forestville's finest, Dean Bulldog Richie. Morning to you, doggy. How are you?
Yeah, good, Middo. Good morning. Good morning, Lozza.
Morning, buddy. How are you?
I don't know how you guys do it every day. Jeez, that alarm clock reverberates through your head when it just goes. It's like, oh, my God.
In particular in winter, too, when it's
cold. Oh, it's cold, too, yeah.
But anyway.
I must admit, I turned over this morning. I thought, I wonder if they'd miss me if I didn't show up.
You're going to brush this, were you?
It did cross my mind coming in about 8 o'clock.
Could you imagine the bagging you would have copped?
That wouldn't have bothered me. You know.
Yeah, right.
One thing I know about Dean, if he commits to something, I'm going to give him a rap. If he commits to something, he goes through with it.
That's fair.
You
I'll
do, Dean.
That as a compliment, Laurie.
Yeah, I've worked with you in the past, spoken to you about things in the past, and when you commit to something, my friend, you
what
do
I say,
it.
I'll be at the pub at midday, Laurie. I will be at the pub at midday.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay.
So well done for joining us.
Thank
this
you.
Morning.
Great to be here.
Back page of the paper. Not you.
Not today.
What happened?
Well, I've had...
What, was it an off day yesterday?
10 in a row.
Right.
Even Bradman got a duck, Laurie.
Right. That's all right.
Okay.
Right. I just thought...
That Manly story is...
You had an exclusive with the... Oh, well, not exclusive, but you had a story with Tony Mestroff, the new CEO of Manly.
Yes,
and
that's
we know that Manly
double
have been
sprint.
Under the pump. But you were knocked off the back page. I just can't believe that.
That's all right. It's a team sport, Laurie. You should know more about that than anybody.
I love it. You got a compliment after 5 seconds, and
yeah,
then five seconds later.
Yeah, yeah, a slap across the face a minute later.
Which,
you never know. You never know what you get with Laurie, do you?
Oh, you never know what you I've got a pretty good idea, actually, by now.
But certainly that Manly story does keep humming along, doesn't it, guys?
Well, Teamless Tuesday is
Teamless is out today. And
what did you take out of your interview with Tony Mestroff, the new CEO, yesterday?
Look, there was multiple layers of issues that we covered, but I did like the fact that they are going to look at giving Polynesian players a say and a voice at the club by potentially employing a dedicated Polynesian welfare officer, and also Manly have brought in consultants to help with cultural sensitivity. Mm. So certainly looks like Manly are learning from their mistakes.
I didn't know, but 19 of their top 30 are Polynesian players.
Second only to the Warriors.
Right.
So it will be interesting, as Mido says, at 4 o'clock today, what Des does, but you can't help but think, Loz, given the importance of Friday's game against Parramatta, that all seven would be... forgiven's the wrong word, isn't it? There would be some redemption and they would come back into the side. I can tell you, though, guys, there is divisions at Manly. Anyone who tells you there's not is telling you a fib. Oh. The players that played were dirty on the players that didn't play. Mm. They're trying to sort it out and understand each other's religious beliefs and views, but there is division there. You speak to one player and he will say, we can move forward from this, and yet you speak to others who say that this is going to take a lot longer than just one meeting.
How do you think they sort it out? Because if
there's no give.
If you've got two parties that don't agree, yes, you talk about finding some common ground, but where's the common ground in this?
There's no give, Laurie. Either side are quite staunch in their views. The players are dirty that the others didn't play, and the seven players are saying, well, we are not backing down. And they, to be fair to them, have been staunch from the beginning. They stuck together and they stuck solid through a lot of criticism. And they said, no, this is our beliefs and this is what we are doing. So they aren't going to apologise, clearly. So, as I said, Loz, I don't know how one meeting is going to fix this problem at Manly.
Yeah, it's just...
Maybe time.
Time's probably the best, but it's just an extension of, I think, our society saw that issue, because you could tell with all our texts and phone calls last week, this is one that people have an opinion on and a strong opinion on. And
everyone.
It's one way or the other.
Everyone's got an opinion on this story.
It's one way or the other. And they don't want to, no one really wants to budge on how they think or feel about it. And I'm sure that's the same within the playing group. So I'm not one bit. In fact, I said it last week. There's no way. Anyone who's played footy and you played a big game, and if your teammates don't play in that game, and I'm taking the issue away from... I'm talking about just the footy aspect of it. You're going to be dirty. You're going to be dirty on your teammates who that week don't turn up from when you're playing for a final spot. You're going to ask real questions of your teammates who you go to pre-season training with 8 months ago and they're not there when you need them. That, from a purely footy sense, that is going to make anyone dirty.
There was text messages flying around last week from players to other players, certainly asking why the Seven are doing this and why aren't they playing. Josh Alloway seems to be the leader of the Seven, for want of a better term. And don't get me wrong, guys. Please don't think I'm sitting here having a crack at the Seven. I'm not. If that's what they believe in, I've said it on the record multiple times in the last week. I have to respect that, and I do respect that.
Where does their season go to? Can you see them, you know, combining, coming together as a group and trying to forge their way into the semi-finals? Or do you think it'll show in their performance that they're a divided club?
Well, as they play Para on Friday, they're stranded on 20. The Raiders and Roosters are now on 22. So if they get beaten on Friday, there's only four rounds left after that. So I think that the finals have slipped by if they don't win this Friday. And then if the finals are out of reach, whether the situation might worsen, whether players look at others with harder eyes because the finals have now gone. But, Loz, if they lose to Parramatta, I don't think they can get there.
Well, it's going to be a big ask, isn't it? Then if those teams that are in front of them,
if the Raiders
win,
or Roosters win, that puts them four clear.
That puts them four clear with four games to go. It will make it extremely difficult. And then the cracks might become a little bit bigger.
100%.
And the divide is widening all the time. But I don't know how they move forward when there's such a discrepancy between both sides' feelings. Like, you got one, as Middo said, that's over here and one over there, and there's no common ground or middle ground, and yet they've got to come together and play.
It's not just the players.
And it's not one or two players either. That's the other thing.
Exactly. It's seven. It's more than half of
the starting
side.
And then you've got 19 other players within that group. Possibly a lot of those players would be supporting the Seven.
They will stick solid,
well,
Laurie. They will stick solid. It's not just the Seven players either, you know. It's how they're brought up. It's their traditions. It's their beliefs. It's their parents. It's their grandparents. I was speaking to a few people about it yesterday, and a lot of people don't understand how they're brought up and the strict backgrounds that they have in terms of their religion. And for others that don't have those beliefs, it's sometimes difficult to digest. But that's how they're brought up, and there's no wavering in that. There's no give, and they will stick solid, those Seven. And as Laurie said, there's every chance that 19 will stick solid. So it's a very, very awkward and difficult situation, and I just think there's more in this story. As much as it's been going on now for 9 or 10 days, I don't think it's over just yet.
Just looking at the Comm Games at the moment, we've got Emma McKeon amongst them in the women's 50-metre butterfly, and we'll keep you up to date with what's going on over there. Overnight, by the way, Kyle Chalmers won gold in the 50 metres freestyle, 47.51. He swam, so he's won a gold medal there. Kaylee McEwen, star that she is, won her second gold medal in the women's 200 metres backstroke. She came out 40 minutes later and won silver in the 200 individual medley. Now, what's Emma McKeon done there? I think she's just had a victory. Yeah, she's won the 50 fly. Emma McKeon. I'm assuming that's a final. 25.9. She swum that in. So just another gold medal, seriously. How many has she got now? 12? 12 in games history.
Is that 30 golds now on day four?
Oh, for Australia, right?
Overall.
Going for a record, are we?
Overall, we are. Well, I'm looking at the official site here. I think you're right there, Doggy.
Well, as I heard you say yesterday about the, excuse me, the relevance of the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, where are you at with it?
I'm with you. I'm enjoying it. I love seeing Australia win. I'm as patriotic as the next bloke. But I must admit the relevance, I can't quite warm to it. There's so many medals, it feels like you're not treasuring them. I'd almost rather than 30 golds at the Commonwealth, I'd rather win 6 at the Olympics, and those medals would be treasured.
Yeah, and it's hard, isn't it? Because you don't want to take anything away from the athletes. But just for me sitting here, I just know, you know, when I watch the Commonwealth Games, you know, when I was a kid growing up and even in the, you know, when I was middle age, you know, 20, 30, you watch those events and you are captured by it.
Yeah.
I just don't know where it is at the moment.
I guess the good thing about it, it helps, you know, sort of re-establish our knowledge of the athletes in the lead up to the Olympic Games. So
yeah, I suppose that's a good
point. Puts them in the news, so you're just aware that, you know, they're tracking.
Yeah,
the moment.
And this is what they're doing.
Because Paris is only 2 years away, by the way, after we had the delayed games last year. So
yeah, and it'll come around very quickly. But well done to every athlete that's competing, because you can only beat who's in front of you. But yeah, just for me personally, I just haven't got that same up and about feeling about the Commonwealth
Games. We used
games.
To, though. Certainly when I was growing up, Loz.
Yeah.
I remember it, going back to 1982 at Brisbane. We had the Commonwealth Games up there, and it was amazing time for Australia. But it just seems to have lost a little bit over the years. Even the actual Commonwealth Games overall, I mean, I thought by now maybe it might not have been around.
Mm.
And I say that respectfully, because every athlete that's been there or is there right now has worked their absolute backsides off to be there. And the joy and the scenes that we're seeing are wonderful. But I think the Olympics is something that I really warm to. And every medal is treasured. And you become a legend if you win an Olympic medal. You are written into the folklore and you become an iconic figure in Australian sport, where there's just so many goals at the Commonwealth Games. And we dominate so much. It's hard to sort of remember who's won what. I mean, we're on day four now. We've already won 30 gold medals.
Yeah.
I mean, good luck to us. It's great. But it's hard to keep up, isn't it? Mm.
Back pages of the papers today. Stop sign, the headline on the back of the Telegraph. NRL to end deadline day madness. Para fails in late bid for Clemmer. Back page of the Herald. Killing tribalism. NRL boss blasts player trades. And that's Raiders chief executive Don Furner talking about, well, what's going on with these late season transfers. But Peter Volandis has spoken to Buzz and says that he wants to go back to June 30. A June 30 cutoff, saying you don't want clubs trying to buy a premiership late in the year. And, you know, we were speaking about this yesterday. It served its purpose as far as COVID and the difficulties that raised. But to have these transfers a month out from the finals, that doesn't sit well with me and a lot of fans, and I think June 30 is about right.
Yeah, well, I think the fans don't like the fact that you can have a player that could possibly play for two or three clubs in one season, and then you get 5 weeks out from a semi-final series, and players, if you've got a spot on your list, get a player in to try and help you win a competition. But I also didn't mind the theory of it with COVID, but also, as Melbourne have done, they've run into a bit of trouble with outside backs, and they've got one spot left on their roster. So I didn't mind the fact that they could go and source another player, because they'd lost a lot of players.
But isn't it up to them to get that depth initially, Loz, to cover for those things? And I'm not picking out Melbourne per se here.
That's the rule.
Mm. But I'm saying, shouldn't they have got the depth initially in their squad to cover for those? Not just think, okay, we've got some injuries, let's go raid someone else.
Well, you could have the same argument for June 30.
It's not as late in the season, though.
No, it's not as late, but what's the difference between late and then at the end?
Mm. I don't like the lateness.
Yeah, but you could have a lot of injuries early in the season, so you're desperate then to go and get someone. So you go earlier. It just so happens that they've got them at the back end of the season. And I think if you can prove that you've got four or five guys in your squad in that one position that are out, I didn't mind it. But I'm happy to go back to June 30. It doesn't worry me. I'm just saying you are going to get times or have times where, you know, you're going to run into a lot of injury problems, and you may well need that August 1 trade deadline. But if they change it, it's certainly not going to worry me. You're just going to have to fill your roster up by June 30.
It's the world we live in, isn't it, Mino?
Yeah, it is. But it's not the Raiders, the Titans, the Tigers going and trying to get these plays late in the season. It's the Roosters and the Melbourne Storm trying to,
you know. But what I would say, if the rule was still in place and those clubs were fighting for finals and top four and a chance of winning a comp, you don't think they would do it?
Well, that's the whole point.
Do we want
to see clubs this late in the season try and...
Yeah, I know, but clubs can say what they want at the moment because it doesn't affect them. It affects other clubs. But if they're in the same situation, they're going after the players to strengthen their roster for the end of the season. And I know what you're saying. No one likes it. No one wants to see it. But for clubs to say at the moment that, it shouldn't be happening, if they're in the same situation as Melbourne...
They'd cannibalise the team next door.
They'd do the same. Hmm. It just depends what rule suits you at the time.
I reckon it's one of the rules that the fans really hate. I think it upsets a lot of fans when you can have, as you say, Loz, you can have two or three clubs in 1 year. Look, call me a dinosaur, but going back to your era, Laurie, you would never consider moving mid-season. And times change, and as I said, Middo, it's the world we live in. But I think of all the issues in rugby league that we don't like or want change, I reckon this is right up there in terms of fan dislike.
Well, you imagine if you're a Tigers supporter, and you're a David Nofaluma fan, and you see him go to Melbourne, and then all of a sudden he's back in your colours next season. As a young boy, you're sitting there going, how does that work? How does that operate? I thought he was a Tigers player. Now we see him with Melbourne, then he's going to be back with the Tigers next year.
Just on Clemmer too, guys, I was told last night that the deal with Parramatta wouldn't go through, which is what Buzz has written. His family loves Newcastle. They want to settle there after retirement, and they have bought a home up there. So I think Clemmer will be in Newcastle well into
just
retirement.
Just on with Clemmer and Marty Tapau, the possible link to Parramatta, was that as a loan deal for this year only, or was it a deal for the remaining games this season and a 12-month, two-year contract the following years?
Yes, that's how I understand it, because he's actually off contract this year, Marty. So Marty went to Manly saying, look, you haven't offered me a new deal. If I can go to Parramatta, I can play the rest of the year there and then get another year out of my career. But I spoke to Manly about this, and they're saying, well, we get that, Marty, but we need you, and you've got a contract here. We can't let one of our best middle forwards just walk out the door so you can get another contract.
Don't you love it? Because you hear these stories all the time, but it's always right for the clubs to get rid of players when they want to.
Goes both ways.
And I don't know how you fix that. I don't know. A contract should be a contract, but it never is. Well, you always have a club at some stage wanting to get rid of a player, and they'll say it's in the best interest of the player and the best interest of the club. But then when a player wants to do it, there's a bit of resistance at times.
I get Manly's stance on this. I wouldn't be letting a bloke walk out the door now so he can get another contract. That's up to the player and his manager to sort out, not the existing club who's got a binding contract.
And there's still a chance of playing finals football.
Correct.
You know, if they got beaten this weekend and the deadline was pushed back further, Manly might, well, grant him a release. But they're pressing for a finals berth. They want all their players available. So I understand both parties, but I just have a bit of a chuckle to myself when you hear the old, we can't do this. I'm not going to release a player. And then 2 weeks later, they'll release a player because he's done something wrong and they want to get rid of him and they want to free up some salary cap space.
Are you suggesting clubs change their narrative, Laurie, depending on the situation?
Of course I do.